It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Leviticus. We're going to study chapter 16 or part of it today. We're going to begin reading with the first verse and read down through the fourth verse of that chapter. And so please that you'll open your Bibles to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and please open to the 16th chapter, verse 1. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today as we begin reading with Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to begin with the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall leave the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now we're going to end with the reading right there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this study. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Please that you will guide and lead us today as we study your precious word. It is a wonderful opportunity we have that you have given us to enjoy the study of the Word of God, to walk each day with it, and it is just wonderful, dear Lord. So please that you'll help us to see and to know your will and way for our lives. The area of Leviticus, Father, is this book, this chapter, is one of the finest in all your precious Word, and so help us to see that and to know that as we study it today. And I just ask that folks will come to know you as their Savior. I ask that folks will begin to serve you and surrender their heart and their life to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure glad that you've joined us today with the study. We again are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. We've read the first four verses. I'm going to summarize very quickly because we have just started this study. We kind of started the book of Leviticus midway. The reason that we started here in the 16th chapter is because I wanted to show you this Day of Atonement that we've talked about so often. I want you to see that. I want you to recognize how important that Day of Atonement is. It is one of the most beautiful pictures of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the high priest is doing here. Just again, the Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, they decided that they would just go in and offer when they wanted to, and they found that the Lord was not pleased with that, not only not pleased with that, but they found themselves put to death immediately by the Lord. And so we need to understand that it is God's way. And if you aren't comfortable with God's way, you got a problem, because God will not accept anything except for His way. That's the reason we stay with the Word of God clearly. We have not altered it or changed it. That's the reason we stay with the King James, because for our English language, it is the best that we have, and we need to stay there. We find here, as we studied the book of Exodus, you know, we've been through Genesis, we've been through Exodus, and the book of Exodus is a record of redemption, And it gives us and lays the foundation for a wonderful life of service, for worship, for cleansing. Leviticus here gives the details of the walk, the worship, the service that we should have. And so we see that in Exodus, God speaks to the people from the mount. They were forbidden to approach it. But here in Leviticus, he now has come and he is in the tabernacle. He is in the Holy of Holies, and he dwells there in the midst of the people. We talked about the most important word or the theme, the key word of the book of Leviticus is holiness. We discussed that the book of Leviticus is geographically is found to be in one spot, and that's at the base of Mount Sinai. It starts there and it ends there, but it is all centered around this beautiful picture of the tabernacle. Now, we have several verses of Scripture that we talked about, and I ask that you would read those. And Hebrews 9, 1 through 14, Hebrews 10, 11 through 15, Hebrews 10, 19 through 26. Now, we're going to be incorporating those verses of Scripture through this whole study of this 16th chapter of Leviticus. But I think we're going to take a few minutes right now and go to those areas of Scripture and read those. So please that you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Go to the book of Hebrews. We'll find the 9th chapter, and we're going to read those first 14 verses. I want you to look at that, what has taken place now. Again, it seems as though at the death of Abihu and Nadab, that is when the Lord comes and presents this to Moses and then on to Aaron. And so as we look at Hebrews chapter 9, the first 14 verses. Now, just listen very carefully as I read those, and I hope that you can read along with me. And then we'll incorporate this all back with Leviticus. You need to study the book of Hebrews and the book of Leviticus together. A lot of people say that the book of Hebrews is so difficult to understand. Well, it is. It's impossible to understand unless you are studying it with the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, we have a lot of beautiful pictures there, but pictures you really have a difficult time seeing unless you study the book of Hebrews. Those two come together, and so please that you understand that now and see that. Let's begin now in reading Hebrews chapter 9, the first 14 verses. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither of the blood of goats and calves, but of his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes and a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, if you remember here at the very beginning of this reading of Hebrews chapter 9, you found the articles of the tabernacle, didn't you? And now, see, we're about 30 years after the Lord Jesus walked upon the earth and lived here and was crucified and rose again and ascended unto his Father. We're about 30 years past that time. And then if you look at back here in Leviticus, we are about almost 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus came to earth. And yet, we are talking about the very same thing. So please, as we look at this, as we enjoy this, I want you to see very carefully what is taking place here in Hebrews chapter 9 and then on to Hebrews chapter 10. It's so important that you don't miss the connection between the two. And so now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be referring back to this for the next few weeks, and so don't think that we're just going to read it once. But I wanted to, if you had not taken time to read it, I wanted you to get it straight in your mind. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, wherein the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. Now, keep that in mind. On to verse 19 of the same chapter, chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willingly after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now we're going to end the reading of Hebrews there, and we're going to return now back to Leviticus, to this section of Scripture that we have read. We have been through the first and second verse last time. I gave you just a very quick review of what we had talked about at that time. And now we have read the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter, and we're going to see now the connection, because you see, Jesus had been to the cross and had finished the work of salvation in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Leviticus, we are just putting in place one of the most beautiful pictures of what Christ is going to do some 1,500 years later. And so now that we have looked at this, we're going to get to the to this third verse. The first and second verse is again pertaining to these sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and what they had done and the consequences of that. And they're kind of giving a warning to Aaron that he must listen unto the Lord and unto the word of the Lord and not do it upon his own timing and his own will, but only upon the time and the will of God. Now, we're to the third verse here, because we need to repair this problem that's between God and man. You know, God is holiness, God is perfect, man is sinful, and there is a problem here. There is nothing that we can do on our own to please God. And so there was something had to be taken care of in order to reunite, to bring man and God back together. There's was a man once said that there's a great gulf between God and man, but it was said that it is it can be fixed with a bridge, and this bridge is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I don't want you to miss that. Now, we're going to look at a couple of offerings here that Aaron was to do. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, you may not be familiar, most folks don't. Most folks have not studied this area of Scripture. The sin offering has to do with our evil nature, which is the root from which proceed acts done against God and against man. But so the sin offering is it pertains to the condition, the separation that we have between ourselves and our God, and it even speaks of the evil between man to man. This evil nature, the root of it. You know, people think that down deep there's good in everyone. That is not true. The Word of God tells us very clearly that that is not true. We are wicked. We are evil. There is no good in us, none whatsoever. So this sin offering is involved with that, dealing with this evil nature, the root of it. And so we bring the sin offering to compensate, to repair that problem that we have. Now, the burnt offering, it's a little bit different here. It is something that is brought before the Lord that the Lord loves. The sin offering is something we have to deal with because our sin has to be dealt with. And so that is pertaining to that. And again, I'll just read the definition. It has to do with our evil nature, which is the root from which proceed acts done against God and man. Okay, so that takes care of that. Now, the burnt offering, it is considered an ascending offering. An ascending offering is something that moves upward towards our God. And so, in the sense that in being entirely consumed by fire, it ascended as incense or a perfume unto God. Thus, not only was the sacrificial death of Christ depicted, but also his resurrection and his ascension. So do you see what we have in this burnt offering? And I've written that definition to hopefully help you, help me, when we look at this sin offering. We're dealing with the nature, with the evil nature, the root of it. We're wicked, we're evil, and then we need to take care of that. The sin offering is offered on behalf of that, and then our old sinful flesh. The burnt offering is something that is given as a praise, showing the work that God has done, and it ascends all the way up into the heavens for our Lord. So it shows us the sacrificial death of Christ, and also the resurrection and the ascension. And so those two things, the sin offering and the burnt offering. Now, we're going to look back to 2 Chronicles, and so we need to go a little further towards the back. We have, first of all, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then you'll find 1 and then 2 Chronicles. And as you look at 2 Chronicles, we're going to go to the 29th chapter today. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29. I hope you know your Bible. I hope you can find scripture verses in it. I know that you can hear me flipping through the pages. I do not have it written down or marked in any way. I do not use a thumb index. I know the Word of God. I love it, and I know where to find verses of scripture. Now, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles today. 2 Chronicles, verse 29, chapter 29, verse 27. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering. Now, we've just talked about this burnt offering is something the Lord is so pleased with, unto the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets, with instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And so there was literally, when this burnt offering was started and that smoke began to ascend up to the Lord, it is something that it was given for the purpose of joy. And so here we have in this 27th verse, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with instruments. It was at the same time. It's an offering of joy, an offering of excitement, an offering that the Lord is pleased with, and it should, when that is given, it is an offering that we want to show our thanks, our gratitude, our joy unto the Lord. And so it comes up before our God, and we need to be joyful. As now, we don't give the sin offering and the burnt offering as they did of that day. If you'll come back here, we find the animals that were used, a bullock for one, a ram for the other. And we're going to see the offerings that are given here with the goats and the ram pretty shortly. And so understand that the two offerings that are given here, and I hope that explains, we'll continue to further the explanation, the definition of the sin offering and the burnt offering. One is an offering that the Lord loves to have. It is as if it was sweet incense to Him. The other is dealing with our sin, our old nature. When the burnt offering comes up, Hezekiah speaks of a joy that should come, and he even brought music and instruments with that. We look at the third verse here. Thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for the burnt offering. This day is a very special day, a day that Aaron would do all alone with no help. And if we turn to the 17th verse of this 16th chapter, you'll see, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And so we find that it is something that he does alone as he gives these. Now, we need to understand all the work was set upon one, and we know the same is with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the work of salvation, of redemption, of life, of pleasing our God and honoring our God is set upon one person, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Now, let's go to Psalm 21, because it is a beautiful verse of Scripture. I want to read it together. Psalms chapter 22, verse 1. Psalms 22, verse 1. Now, as we find our Lord goes alone to take care of this, this verse of Scripture here applies to that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And we know that those verses, of those words of Scripture, are words that were repeated at the death of our Savior. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the psalmist, he gives us those same words to hear and to know. The Lord went alone to take care of this work. Now, if you'll go with me to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, verse 32. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 32. John 16, 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now we have back, as we just read back in Psalms chapter 22, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet here we find a verse of Scripture that says, because the Father is with me. You know, some things are very difficult for us to understand, but we know that the deity never left God, never left the Lord Jesus. He was completely flesh, 100% flesh, and 100% God. And, you know, some things here become difficult. I wanted to read those verses of Scripture to see that no man was with him, but we look and find God the Father working this out. Now, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the 19th verse. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, to wit, that God in Christ reconciled us. What a work our Savior has done for us, something we could not do, could not begin to do. And so, as we look at this third verse back in Leviticus 16, verse 3, thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with the young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He comes, he does this work alone. Now we're going to look at what Aaron is going to be wearing, because he does not completely put his priestly robe on. He just the linen garments only. Verse 4, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. Again, by himself alone, he is unadorned in relationship to his full garment, but he is pure. White stands for the purity. And when he comes to do this, this is what he puts on. And again, alone by himself. And we know that our Savior, again, took care of the work. It was nothing you or I could do. I want to look at just a couple of verses of Scripture here. We're just almost out of time. But let's look at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And we'll begin with a verse of Scripture back in Philippians chapter 2. We need to see that as we're looking at this picture back in Leviticus, that we're looking at a work that our Savior is going to perform some 1,500 years later. We need to look that it was done alone. He took care of it. He was God. He was man. He redeemed us. We've looked at the sin offering and the burnt offering and what those stand for. One is for our wickedness, our sin, our nature. The other is for an offering of praise unto our God, an offering that we do something that the Lord is pleased with. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've called upon Him to save you. His precious blood, His death upon the cross, is the only means. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?